Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals got swept by the Yankees. They continue their homestand tonight as the Athletics come to town. Michael Wacha gets the nod this evening. Of course, you can hear the game right here on 96.5 The Fan. We're going to talk more Royals right after what's trending, including where this hitting continues to be at and what change is left to make at this point with where they're at with one of the worst offenses in all of baseball.
Next up on What's Trending, the Oilers do even up the series against the Florida Panthers yesterday with a thrilling 5-4 overtime win. They were down 3-0 after the first period. It was 3 goals each after the second period. The Oilers took the 4-3 lead late, gave up another goal late, sent it to overtime, but they eventually get the shot winner in overtime, winning 5-4. But yeah, that series now tied at 2 games apiece. Cash out, bro, lives another day.
He's
I'm
got
still
some
actively,
life.
And I want to be actively rooting against him.
I don't know why you're acting.
I hope he loses that bet. I dislike him so much.
May not like him, may annoy, but I don't want, I mean, if he
you
has a chance.
You still want him to win $200,000.
But,
I want him to just cash out and win $100,000.
He still needs 3 more wins by the Thunder and 2 more wins by the Oilers to cash out. Thinking of the Thunder, that's tonight. NBA Finals continues, 7:30, I believe, is tip-off. Thunder are 6-point favorites against the Pacers. They're down 2-1, are the Thunder. Does kind of feel like, I told you, I think they're going to rattle off some wins now, but Pacers are in a great spot. Great spot total for the game, sitting at 227.5 as well over at FanDuel.
So another Drew's Pacers can get it done tonight. Next
better
up
be no celebrities shown tonight. I'll tell you that.
Darn any celebrities. Nobody from Indiana is famous.
Stay away.
What's the most famous person from Indiana? They just keep rolling out Pat McAfee.
Larry Bird would be there,
who's
right?
Been at the games?
I mean, from Indiana.
Mike Epps has been shown a couple of times.
Oh, comedian. Whoa.
Well, hang
that's
on a second.
C-list. Mike Epps?
Right.
That's the biggest one you could name?
All right, yeah, all right, fine.
That ain't great.
You know what?
Drew doesn't want
to
see any celebrities.
In my home state.
No celebrities courtside tonight. Drew's going to be very upset. Just the common person.
Just Mike Epps. Next up on What's Trending, the KC Current will face the Racing Louisville squad tomorrow. And they're still first place. They're the best team in the NWSL by pretty noticeable margin here now. I think compared to the rest, Sporting KC will take on FC Dallas tomorrow for the soccer crowd.
Soccer action going on this
weekend.
They're
at home tomorrow, right? The KC Current?
Yeah, at home. Yeah, they haven't been home in a month, just the way the scheduling worked out. Mm-hmm. So they're at home this weekend and I believe next weekend as well. Chance to go out to the Current games. All right, lastly on What's Trending, an arrest was made in Seattle, connected to some home burglaries of athletes, including Blake Snell and Richard Sherman. It's still unclear if there's a connection to, guys remember the stories with involving Kelsey and Burrow and their homes being broken into. Remember, they caught a lot of those individuals that they believe stole merchandise and memorabilia and things from their home. They're not sure if these are linked, but more stories of some of these athletes having these home break-ins. So that's what's trending.
Crime rings, you know?
Well, that's what it was. It sounds like for the Burrow and Kelce slash Mahomes stuff that happened. What was that, October? It was during that Saints Monday Night Football game. It was the same night the Royals were playing the Yankees in the divisional series.
I'd say the biggest current legal trouble for any athlete is Antonio Brown.
Oh, well, yeah.
Did you guys see the video? I had missed the video a couple of weeks ago. Yesterday, all of a sudden, I saw the headline said Antonio Brown has a warrant for his arrest for like a murder. And you're like, what? You're like, well, that's crazy. What the hell's going on here? There's a video of him like walking out of a club, what appears to be wielding a weapon towards someone. So like he might be going to like jail for a long time. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but he's been running into problems for a long time. He has seemed kind of insane for months, years. I don't know. Long before he walked off the field as a member of the Jets. Is that who he was? It was a team that he walked off the field and then just never stepped foot
Bucks,
on.
Bucks, right?
Bucks.
Or wait.
No. Jets?
Yeah. Sorry. I think you're right.
When he never stepped foot on an NFL field again? The Jets, I think. I don't remember now. It's a pretty famous image. Maybe it was the Bucks.
He was on the Bucks. Yeah, he was on the Bucks. You're talking about Antonio Brown when he left in the halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Bucks. It was,
okay.
He was in a Bucks uniform. Yes. Yes. He was in a Bucks uniform.
You can just see him jumping around and being nuts.
Yeah.
It was against the Jets. That's why I was thinking about it.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, anything with Antonio Brown shouldn't surprise us at this point in time.
No.
I mean, this has been going on for a while now. He obviously has got some issues, to say the least. So, that's a mess. I don't know what the conclusion is going to be for that. Why are multiple people texting in RIP John Mellencamp? Did he pass away?
He must be from Indiana.
John Mellencamp is from Indiana. He also got put in some hot water, I think.
I mean, he's...
I think he's still alive.
Why are people saying RIP? He's alive. What are people saying RIP?
He did not have very good things to say about Pat McAfee,
What are people saying RIP John Mellencamp for? Like, three, four people texted in. You had me double-checking to make sure. I was like, he's not. No, he's in
his
70s.
He's definitely still alive.
He was at one, I think he was at one of the Pacers-Knicks games.
Why are people... No, he's very well alive.
You think Pat McAfee killed him or something? Like, what's going on here? Like,
he had bad things to say about Pat McAfee.
I don't mind John Mellencamp at all. But
what did Mellencamp not like about Pat McAfee?
I think it was when they had Pat come on to give like a rah-rah speech to all the fans and tell them to get more excited and everything. And I think he went a little extra.
Like,
and
he
John
went
Mellencamp
super old
was like,
man. He's like, we don't do.
Yeah,
that.
John Mellencamp was like, here in Indiana, we have better. Okay, yeah, it was.
No, but in general, no. John Mellencamp.
This makes it sound like everyone should have a piece of straw out of their mouth in overalls. We're hardworking. This is the Midwest. Like, easy, John. People can have fun still.
Correct.
Relax a little.
John Mellencamp might be the most... I mean, he's up there in terms of celebrities from Indiana.
I mean, it's got to be Larry Bird, though, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, if we're talking, like, yes.
I mean...
Larry Bird is probably
Larry
the
Bird,
most
Larry Bird, I would say, would be
Indiana.
The top of the list, wouldn't
yes.
he?
Just very, very, very confused.
Are you going to really make me Google famous people from Indiana?
You want to look up? I mean,
Larry Bird is the first one listed. Mike Epps, Michael Jackson, David Letterman.
That's right. Michael Jackson.
You should have asked the one.
Well, Vivica A. Fox, Colonel Sanders. I'm serious.
Somebody in a KFC outfit.
Colonel Sanders should not make your top 10.
Tony Stewart, John Wooden.
Okay.
I mean,
Babyface, Adam Lambert.
Jeff Gordon's not from there, but he grew up in Indiana.
Dean Norris, shout out Breaking Bad. Anyway.
Not the most A-list group of celebrities.
Few politicians that are famous. Anyway.
I mean, Michael Jackson, that's the A of A-list. You know?
James Dean.
Yeah.
But I'll just say right now, if you're like, hey, guys, we got to roll out Pacers game tonight, celebrity row, who do we got? And they're like, all right, here's what I got for you. I got
Pacers
Mike
celebrity
Epps and Jenna Fisher. You're like, ooh.
Shout out to the 816. Freddie Gibbs. That's a good pull. That's a good pull from the 816. Freddie Gibbs is from Indiana. The Pacers are doing a great job of rolling out, and I think I talked about this. I asked you guys if the Royals would do the same thing, maybe on the bullpen. The Pacers are rolling out the former great players like Reggie Miller was there, Travis Best, Jermaine O'Neal, George McGinnis. Like, they're doing
play.
A great job of bringing those are the celebrities who they're bringing in, and then every now and then a visitor like Timothy Chalamet. Who apparently him and Kylie is his girlfriend. Kylie Jenner liked Indiana and the hospitality.
That's
great.
Nice.
Indiana's not a bad place, people.
I don't think Indiana's a bad place. Yeah. I'm sure living in Indianapolis
in
is a lot like. No,
Kansas,
I'm saying that's
people,
how Mellencamp was making it seem.
People comp Indianapolis and Kansas City all the time.
I was about to
that's
say,
the comp that people use.
Life,
people usually comp the two cities together. I've never been to Indy. But maybe.
You guys have never been to Indy?
Why would I? I mean, same thing. Same reason. People would say the same thing. Like, unless I went for the combine, why would I be in Indianapolis for
what? The next time, I don't know when Indy hosts a Super Bowl next, but the next time they're there, the Chiefs should make it, and then you guys can maybe go to Indy.
Sure.
Works for me.
I don't know when Lucas Oil is hosting another Super Bowl.
St. Elmo's is all I know. That's all people talk about. St. Elmo's, Indianapolis.
And the shrimp. Okay. Yeah. You can't have the shrimp.
Lucas, I can't have the shrimp cocktail anymore, unfortunately.
Next time, you know? Yeah. Next time.
Anyway, all right, let's talk some Royals baseball. Then we'll get to a U.S. Open leaderboard update. Drew's got one ready for us. We've talked plenty of Royals throughout the show today. This team is now under 500. This team just got swept at home for the first time all year. Very frustrating series. Last night just continued to highlight the lack of offense, the lack of runners in scoring position success. 1-for-31 on the season now against the Yankees alone. And we know it's been bad against just about everybody, but 1-for-31 with runners in scoring position. And I know that typically it is all about the players got to execute. The players have to go that out there and perform. And that is every sport. That's pretty much where I side. But when you've pretty much utilized every internal option, we all know what they are, DFAing Renfro or sending down Melendez and calling up Rave and Lofton and calling up your top prospect and Jack Caglun. When you've done pretty much all the internal moves you can make, at some point you say, hey, is there something wrong with the process here? And when we talk about process, we're talking about the hitting coaches, and it's not just one. They have multiple hitting coaches to handle different personalities on the team and things like that. And so when you're a team that had playoff expectations, and they're currently, right now as it sits, it's June 13th, they're currently out of a playoff spot, as we know, and they're under 500. And last year you were in the postseason. When you have those kind of expectations and you are trending towards having one of the worst offenses in a very long time, you have to look at how the development is going and what is going to change. It is June 13th, and will it change? Yeah, some players are just going to have a bad season. It happens for every single team in baseball.
Yep.
But, I mean, there's very few guys on this team this year that have hit. For more than a few weeks.
Correct. And they sadly have not been going through their hot stretches together. Bobby Wood Jr. was white hot for like a month. It wasn't at the same time Vinny is. Now Vinny's been hot for a month. It's not the same time as the other guys. Vinny and Indy are kind of going together, but they're separated by two batters in the lineup who aren't going as hot as Michael was earlier in the year. Not that he's still hitting bad. He's not. But he's not going at the rate he was going in the April part of the season. My whole thing is, I think that there was a real crossing point, and this is where my issue with like Zumwalt or whatever happened with the offense hit was. There was a point this season when they were really not hitting at all. And they clearly, I think, made a philosophy change to say, okay, we're not hitting. We're doing the small things right. We're about putting the ball in play and hitting line drives and getting action. And for the batting average, that actually worked. They have the best batting average since May 1st. They got the 11th best in baseball. So they do actually get hits at a higher rate than 2/3 of the league, which is kind of crazy.
Singles city, man.
And
single after single after single, barely getting out of the infield kind of stuff.
And then it requires your team to hit with runners in scoring position, and they are, if not the worst, one of the three worst teams with runners in scoring position this year. And they're probably just banking on the idea that, well, last year we were top five. So if we just hit with runners in scoring position, this approach works. And what I'm going to say is, if Vinny has power, which he does, Bobby has power, which he does. Jack has power, which he does. You have got to be thinking about home runs differently than I think you've been thinking about them at this point this season, and take some risks on occasion of putting the ball out of the ballpark. I'm not saying that's never come up or they know like I'm the first person creating a part of the hitting thing that they've never even discussed while they're struggling to hit. But I think it's in their head. A lot of this comes into, I think it's in the team's head. I don't think you go 1-for-31 against the New York Yankees this year. That's not just bad luck.
Oh, of course
that's
not. No, that's
pressing.
Yeah.
That's pressing when you've got an opportunity. And what happens here, this is where the hits become a problem, is I don't think they're getting nearly as many runners in scoring position opportunities with less than two outs either, Gold. I think they get these hits when it's there's two outs and there's one guy on. You give up another single and it's first and second and two outs. And you have to have the hit to score the
run. Last night it was first and third. This one instance, right? One of many.
Freddie Fermin.
First and third, two outs. Kyle Isbell comes up to
bat. Freddie Fermin came up with two outs and a guy
on third. And they cannot get that one hit. And then if you're not going to hit with runners in scoring position, you got to have the ability to get the ball out of the park or obviously get some extra base hits. Just I know the whole keep the line moving thing was big in 14 and 15 and everything, but
doesn't seem to be their mode.
And you cannot count on stringing together four hits in an inning or five hits in an inning to get runs. Clearly you can't count on it. That's not
because you're getting plenty of hits. The hits again, part of it is actually technically working.
And what's concerning is, you know, you've got, as I think you highlighted it, some guys that clearly have shown they have pop.
Yeah.
Some of them done in the big leagues for a bit. Obviously, Jack Caglione's case, he's still only been up for, what are we up to now?
10 games.
It's like 10 games or so. 35 plate appearances, roughly, or 37 games. Plate appearances or whatever. So it's still early going. But I'd be lying to you if I told you I wasn't a little worried if in a couple weeks I don't see the power aspect. I'd be a little concerned, not because of him, but I'd be a little concerned that, like, organizationally at the big league level, like, what are we? Are we altering it to where it's just get on base kind of stuff versus, or I should say, just not strike out kind of stuff versus also being willing to take the risk and some power. Like Jack Caglione, he didn't need to have five home runs right now. We obviously
I'd like
still looked at
the
home run power, and I still believe eventually he will do that. But I'm just worried that in a few weeks, if it's not there, are we now concerned that that's another sign that the approach from a hitting perspective as a team, as an organization, is flawed?
They're at a real inflection point, which is the issue. Because of the injuries to the pitching staff over the last couple of weeks, and what Jake Eisenberg pointed out, still waiting to see if Kyle Wright can come back at some point. Alec Marsh has never really gotten particularly close because of the shoulder impingement stuff at the beginning of the year. So they had tremendous depth, actually, in retrospect, going into the year. And because they still had good depth, they've been able to mask some of the pitching problems. The pitching injuries. They've had pretty much no pitching problems, to be clear. Even Angel Zerpa. I think Jake Eisenberg pointed this out on his social media page. His first 15 games, he had like a 7 or 8 earned run average. He's given up a single earned run in his last 15 games. So, like, once again, they found another pitcher who is catching their stride. Schreiber's been well above, all this other stuff. The problem is they're now in an inflection point where I think even though their hitting has struggled all year, because the pitching was so good at any time, they've always been able to tread water, hold balance, all those things. And for me, I could tell you, I still think they're capable of winning 6 out of 8, but it only comes with if they can hit. And I think because of the pitching stuff, they can only tread water so long without the hitting coming around before the losing streak catches them.
Yeah, the question
because
is,
because if they I do think the losing streak is coming.
Well,
beyond the three games.
I was
going to
say, the question is, is this it right here? Is this extend past, or the run you're talking about on the negative side of it, is that about to begin? Are they about to struggle this weekend against the A's as well? And we're going to be sitting here on Monday saying, hey, that homestand, they got one win. And they're then, you know, three games under 500. That's why it's a huge weekend. Not that it solves everything, but you think fans are kind of jumping off right now. If you go to a bad A's team, or you welcome in, I should say, a bad A's team this weekend starting tonight, and you lose the series, or you get swept if it goes disastrous, then
mood's going to be real bad. Then.
Absolutely. But yesterday heading in the game, you said you thought it was the lowest point of the season. Well, we found the new low. It was after.
I didn't say it couldn't get lower.
It can't get any worse.
It was.
Oh, yes, it can.
It was the lowest point to that point, and now today is the lowest. They lose tonight 1-0. We'll probably be feeling the same. A lot of it is just the pitching staff has really helped them for a long time, and you don't want to create this division or anything outside of it. And right now, it seems like it's boiling down to one major stat, which is the runners in scoring position, but it's not just that, because it's definitely the power. The power is a part of it.
It's non-existent. It's non-existent, and the Royals will be at it again tonight at Kauffman Stadium against the A's. And yes, Alex Gordon obviously has his retirement ceremony and stuff, so I think they probably will have a good crowd tonight. Weather looks like it's going to be good this evening as well, but boy, oh boy. It's a tough watch right now, man. It's a tough watch for this baseball team right now. This weekend, maybe part of your Father's Day plans are going out to Kauffman Stadium. Do you have anything set up for? I know you're going out of town, so maybe you don't have. Do you have anything planned?
No, nothing too crazy. So like tonight, it's mostly like preparing for going out of town, right? I don't have any firm plans. Tomorrow, my daughter has like a team building related dance stuff all day, trampoline park, practice, cookout. I, however, will be golfing in a charity golf thing for my good friends over at, it's run by one of the guys who works over again, guy Nathan, who's come in here for a fan club before. He helps run it for like an Elks Lodge. So every year Cody and Gold typically sponsors a hole, and then, you know, I show up and I try to not be a total waste of space for my team. The truth is I try to like put one ball in the fairway so like people who can hit it way further than me can do like good stuff for the team. I try not to screw it up for the squad. So that's a big chunk of my day tomorrow. And then, yeah, Sunday, Father's Day. I don't think I actually have any firm plans at all.
Yeah, we're doing some dinner with the family Sunday night, doing that for Father's Day. But the rest of this weekend's a little busy. Got a couple things. You guys know I've been helping organize this Father's Day.
Yeah, you got the Father's Day run.
Father's Day run. I am not running in the run. I'm hoping.
Why not?
Because I got a bunch of stuff to do the day of the race. So Ben Heisler and I are on this associate board. He is. We're on this associate board for the Father's Day run. And other events, and
can you got still that sign up?
Going up. You can.
If
Drew
wants to run, Father's, to support you,
yeah.
It's not me. I'm busy.
Father's Day run.
I've been trying to keep in shape.
And fathersdayrun.org, by the way, and stuff like the block party aspect of it is going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. So busy organizing that. That's where I got to run after the show today to do some of that. Then got another charity event tomorrow night, and so that's my weekend, man.
Charity event tomorrow night, Father's Day run.
Yep.
So Drew can still sign up, though.
If he wants to. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
I'm busy, too, this weekend. Like, it's just the Father's Day thing. Like, Is your dad in town? My parents are coming in town.
Nice, okay.
I was going to say, what are you doing on Father's Day? Your parents live out of town was my initial thought. Your parents are in town. That makes more sense.
Yep, I'm going golfing tomorrow, so we'll see how that
goes. Okay, that's cool. Have your parents been in town before since you moved here? Like, have they seen Casey?
My dad has not. My mom has. My mom has been in town and she enjoys it. I think it reminds me in particular a lot of India, a lot of home anyways. So I think it's a comforting feeling, you know.
Nice. Yeah.
Are you starting to think that Drew just tells us nothing sometimes?
Yes, all the time.
There's a real trend here.
Yeah, multiple times a week
your parents could have come in. We could have met them. They could have come in for fan club, had a drink, relax.
My
dad does not, my mom does.
Over the last 3 weeks, there's been a lot of revelations on this show from Drew. He's been it'll be 2 years next month that he's been our producer.
Yeah. Making
and
beats.
There's like, sometimes it'll just come up naturally. Like, oh, and by the way, I won $1 million last week. Like, what, you didn't tell us? Like, I'm convinced if you won $1 million yesterday, we would have to ask you before we would find out.
If you were single, we wouldn't find out you were married until after it happened.
Yeah, now he obviously is married, but yes.
What, you call me Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. You're saying I'd be like Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Like, we found out that you do the beatboxing thing. We found out you make beats. We're now finding out you're like, oh yeah, by the way, parents are coming in town this weekend. Yeah. We could have done some other stuff. Is it intentional, or are you just intentionally not wanting to tell us?
No, it's something intentional. They wouldn't be able to make, they're not able to make it here until like 4:30 anyway. They wouldn't have been able to make it in for fan club.
Well, of course you're playing tomorrow.
Painted Hills. Haven't played that one yet.
I haven't played that either. Drew and I will both be on the golf course tomorrow. I'm going to see if I could break 200 at Augusta. He's going to see if I can break.
Confidence that you could break 200 at Augusta, Cody.
Have you seen me play?
I know.
I mean, 200? I'm not like the worst golfer on the planet, but like,
yeah,
I'm not good. Like, I'm definitely not good.
Now, because it's Father's Day weekend, we go back to Father's Day 2022, I think. Father's Day 2022
or
2021.
It's 2021
or 2022.
T-shirt time.
And there was a sequence where we were talking about Father's Day or Bobby Wood Jr. T-shirts. And our old producer, Nick, basically said, hey, if we get X amount of these shirts sold, that
we had to call him daddy.
We had to call him daddy, but also,
which he regretted, I think, faster than we did.
Cody made a song called Daddy Day. We only play this once a year. It's
right around Father's Day.
It's very uncomfortable. And you'll know exactly why. There's one part that it's just the most uncomfortable portion. And here it is. It's just a minute and 15 seconds.
Have you heard this, Drew?
Not the whole thing.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh.
Ooh, that right there.
Happy
nope.
Daddy Day. Oh.
That's for you.
Hey, Daddy, you're a show baddie. Ooh. Happy Daddy Day. Let's get chatty for our daddy. Usually he goes by Nick, but not today. He sold enough with Junior shirts to make us pay. So for the rest of the show, we'll call him Daddy. If we don't, he gets so very maddy. I really wish there was another way, but a bet is a bet, so it's Daddy Day. This is it, the only one you'll get. So please enjoy your Daddy Day. Daddy?
This is the rest of the song.
Daddy. Daddy? Daddy. Daddy?
I want someone to play this for their parents this weekend.
This is it. Enjoy your daddy day.
That is
that song
the most,
still makes me laugh, man.
It's the most uncomfortable song you've ever done.
Oh, happy. Man.
I mean, just.
You think so?
Yeah, that.
Okay. It was meant to be uncomfortable. That was the point. Yeah. He was going to make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He was going to make us uncomfortable by calling him daddy the entire
sick
show.
Sick to my stomach just listening
he
to that
had
song.
A jersey made for the Sporting KC Media Day.
Yeah, then he regretted that decision quickly.
Oh,
as soon as you said you were playing it, Jackson goes, oh, man, I've heard this one.
Someone says, better rapper than singer. No, that's the whole point. Yelling and rapping better than singing. I think that's exactly right.
They're saying you're
also claiming that this is actually my best song.
Your trajectory is the rock star, Cody. That's what people are saying.
All right.
Someone says they bought Nick's daddy jersey from in the garage sale. So they
really?
Still wear it sometimes. It was up for sale. I want to know who has the Pasquassi jersey.
Yeah, I can't remember who actually won that. Up next, though, there was an anonymous MLB player survey about what players they enjoy watching. We'll tell you who made that list, plus the random question of the day. Coming up in a half hour, we will get to Fan Club Friday here on Cody and Gold. We do it each and every Friday. If you're new to the show, 1 o'clock hour, we ease our way into the weekend, have a couple drinks. A lot of times we try new stuff, too. Today, I don't think we ended up getting some of the new stuff, but we'll have a couple drinks. Dana Wright from Dana and Parks, of course, over on KMBZ, going to join us in studio. She's a big golfer, so we'll talk some golf. We do need to get real quick, though, Drew, if you're ready, before we get to this player survey, U.S. Open leaderboard update from Oakmont there in Pennsylvania. A lot of people think this music is bordering on softcore, you know,
well,
porn at
you know
this
point. You
what's your
you can have that mindset.
Right?
All I know is that it's chill golf music, lo-fi hip-hop beats on YouTube. So that's what it is to me.
Text line doesn't think
all
so.
Right. You guys can.
That's a good reminder. I need to charge up my speaker for tomorrow. I like having music on the course.
There you go.
You're not going to listen to this? No. I won't be either. JJ Spahn is still atop the leaderboard. He is solo leader at 4 under. He's even for the day through two holes. Sam Burns, 5 under on the day. He's 3 under for the tournament. He is in the clubhouse heading to the weekend. So he's in a very nice spot.
So he might be the favorite to win it then.
Victor Hovland is right behind him at 2 under for the tournament, 3 under for the day. He's through 16, so there's still plenty of time there. Adam Scott at 1 under par. He just started. He's one of the names that is just getting underway. Xander Schauffele also just getting underway. He is 1 under for the day, birdied 1, +1 for the tournament. Brooks Koepka finished at +4 for the day, +2 for the tournament. He finds himself tied for 17th. Scotty Scheffler, +4 for the tournament. That's where he ends things. The projected cut is currently at +5. So we'll see where it goes here in the next hour and a half. It could go up to +6 just based on how things are going, it seems. It could be +5 or +6 by the time.
What's the biggest name on top? Is it Burns? Is he the biggest
Sam
name?
Burns.
I mean,
in the
Burns
mix?
And Hovland. And Hovland, Siwoo Kim is also tied for 4th. Siwoo Kim's been really good over the last year or so. Xander Schauffele, tied for 10th.
Current live odds would have
Brooks,
Sam Burns at 4-1.
Yeah.
Ludvig Åberg is just starting his round. He's at +2 for the tournament, so he'll be a name to watch.
That is a little check-in on the
Your
U.S.
Boy
Open.
Colin Morikawa is +3 through 17.
Saw that.
So
I saw that. Not good.
Not great.
Not good. From the 913, chill golf music, Drew. More like, hey, baby, my husband's gone for the weekend music.
He's not even saying it's...
Okay.
He's saying it's just straight-up cheating music in addition to it. Okay.
Okay. I looked up chill golf music. This is what it came up with. This is what the computer spit out, all right?
What makes that chill golf music?
I can tell you.
We'll get to the random question today here in about 10 minutes or so. But I saw The Athletic was doing, they do these with every sport. Now it's baseball because it's baseball season. These anonymous player surveys. And they're kind of interesting, right? You get some stuff that, of course, they would never say on the record. Some of the backlash they might get. But they were asked, one of the questions was your favorite player to watch. These are big leaguers saying what big leaguer do they like to watch? The top vote getter, probably not surprised, Shohei Ohtani.
Shocker, the guy who can play like Babe Ruth and hit the ball 500 feet, but also throw 9 shutout innings.
Yeah, 29 first place votes or 29 people picked him. Number two, though, Bobby Wood Jr. Out of all the players in the league, he was the second out of those surveys favorite player to watch among his peers. And yeah, I mean, we just saw this past week couple of the ridiculous diving plays that he made in the field. We also know when he gets one in the gap there at Kauffman Stadium, when he's running around second to try to get it, stretch a triple.
The steals,
that's very
the dives,
fun.
Yep. Yeah, everything.
So Bobby's right there. He's ahead of Ronald Acuna Jr. was number two, or number three, I'm sorry. Ellie De La Cruz, Mookie Betts, Aaron Judge. Was
then Aaron Judge?
Then Aaron Judge. So
he's hitting 392 on June 13th.
I was a little surprised that Judge wasn't number two or three, honestly. And then Francisco Lindor, Scooble, Mike Trout, still making this list, even though he can't stay healthy. Fernando Tatis Jr., and then Jacob DeGrom.
The Jacob DeGrom
one doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if it was like his siblings or whatever. The fact that Bobby Wood Jr. got like a quarter of the entire vote, or like 20% of the entire vote, really stands out. What this poll tells me is players love the freakazoid athlete in their sport. And in baseball, I think there's a little bit less of those. As in, like, in the NBA, dude, there's athletes like Bobby Wood Jr. and Ronald Acuna Jr. who play, like, who are the sixth man off the bench that are, like, that kind of athlete, I think, depending on the sport. Or at the very least, like, a starting five of every NBA team has a couple of dudes that can run and jump and whatever like that. I mean, the sport's just telling you. Bobby Wood Jr., Ronald Acuna, Ellie De La Cruz, Mookie Betts. Those are just some of the best athletes in the game, Gold. Those are the guys that do everything. Five-tool players, everything else outside of it. I'm just surprised it's not more guys would Judge because he's doing Barry Bonds stuff right now. We have probably undersold Aaron Judge's season so far this year. He's coming off an MVP and he's hitting 392. And he's on pace for 45 or 50. 55? I don't know. He's on pace for another 50 plus. 550 plus, got to be. Because they haven't even played half the games yet. He's on pace for another 60 home run season hitting 392, Gold. Like, Aaron Judge right now would be top three on my list. It would probably be, legitimately, the top two on this list, and then Aaron Judge. In no particular order. Shohei, Bobby Wood Jr., and Aaron Judge, wouldn't it?
I would put Aaron Judge in the top three for sure. Yeah. I think it's weird. Mookie Betts is one of my favorite players in the league. I don't. Does that mean he's a favorite player to watch? I mean, if we're just talking
he's
from an athleticism, yeah, I don't know. I think Ellie De La Cruz is from a just freak aspect of it is more entertaining to watch in that regard. Like Ellie De La Cruz can do some things that simply a lot of big leaguers just flat out can't do based off of his athleticism.
Sure.
So that's why it depends. How are you viewing it? Just like, hey, likable person and you just enjoy watching them play? Or
I think like
you
entertaining
think you're
to watch play.
See something really, really special happen. And if that's the case, then De La Cruz, I actually would have him higher than some of these people. Now, Aaron Judge, if you're wanting something special to happen, look what we just saw at Kauffman Stadium, hit one a Hall of Fame. So to me, he should be number two or number three on this list. Shohei, for obvious reasons, especially if he's actually pitching in the game as well as hitting, then it's even more impressive. The one I was surprised still is Mike Trout making the list. Like, has he played enough baseball games recently to still be on that list of your favorite player to
Not
watch?
Not anymore. He would have been, depending on the time or the moment, he would have certainly been on that list.
Defense, too. You know, a lot of Francisco Lindor is a hell of a defender on top of it.
I haven't seen a hitter like Aaron Judge do something like this since Barry Bonds in the middle of the steroid era. I mean, since his like 73 home run season or the year after when he hit 370 and hit 50 bombs, whatever, I don't know. So like hitting is more fun. You know how we know that, Gold? I've been watching the Royals play lately. Would you rather the Royals have the same record and have the number one offense? Let's just say it was reversed.
Oh, yeah.
So their pitching staff was 29th. But they were the third best offense in the league and they had the same center record. Would you rather watch that team than the one you get to watch right now?
I think most fans would say yes, absolutely.
It's more entertaining.
Because it's an entertaining product. Now, it gets you in the same spot.
Doesn't change anything.
No.
You can't pitch. You're probably not going
to
go
just
anywhere.
As invigorating to
I would
watch
actually
at
say,
times.
From a team perspective, I would rather have this team because you are more likely to win from a pitching perspective than you are to just slug yourself out.
Well, and financially, you would rather have the pitching already
because
it's cheaper to do the other. It's harder to go find ace-level pitching in free agency and spend that kind of money as a small market team, too. So, but if we're just talking the entertainment aspect, not building my organization, I'd rather them score seven runs than be sweating out 1-0 games constantly, for sure. Someone also just mentioning that it's a player's poll. They're tired of watching balls go over the fence when they play the Yankees. I don't know. I mean, I think if surprise on this list would be Paul Skenes probably should be here too on the top 10.
If you've got Jacob DeGrom, I would think Skenes Jacob DeGrom, like again, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, he probably is one of the most entertaining pitchers on the planet. But right now, Paul Skenes is the most must-watch pitcher other than Shohei Ohtani when he's pitching in baseball at the moment. But like Shohei Ohtani does both. Of course he's number one. I mean, yeah. No love for Cal Raleigh, huh? He can't make the list all of a sudden. What a weird year he's had.
Catcher having a great year.
I know. I was making a joke.
Honestly, on the actual poll itself where people commented, the most popular name other than people wondering why Judge was listed fifth for player to watch from players was that Pete Crow Armstrong from the for the Cubs. We were like, how is he not on this list for the record?
Don't you have a card from him?
I have a single card of his. Yeah, nothing like crazy. He's 23 years old. And 271 with 18 homers, 57 RBI so far this year. No, I literally have like exactly one rookie card of his. Nothing fancy.
I'm surprised that Juan Soto's
You're thinking of Matt Shaw. I had the Matt Shaw patch
that
rookie.
That is what I was thinking.
Sold that one to build up so I could buy a Cags card.
Ooh.
No, I sold
is
the
it
Matt.
A good Cags card? What'd you get?
It's on its way, yeah. I sold the Matt Shaw auto that I had because I'm not a Cubs fan. So
it had a logo on it, right?
Yeah, it's very it jersey. It's a really cool card. I'm not a Cubs fan. Matt Shaw like doesn't do anything. So I sold that and used that to help purchase a autographed Cags 2024 Bowman card. Bowman 2024 draft.
Ooh.
So yeah, I'm excited about that one. But anyway.
If you look at the comments of this, some people are disappointed there's no Jose Ramirez.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Corbin Carroll.
Yeah, Corbin Carroll last year was one of the top.
I'm surprised that Juan Soto's not in there. Juan Soto.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
But Francisco Lindor is? I like Francisco Lindor.
I think as someone pointed out, the defense aspect, too.
They like defense. The players do.
I think that's why Bobby and Ellie are so high on the list.
They're just like freak athletes. Yeah. Run, jump. I told you, it's like there's probably three guys on every NBA starting five of the athleticism of Ellie De La Cruz and Bobby Wood Jr. and these others. But in baseball, it stands out because there are great athletes in baseball, but there are also just some like dudes. They're just some guys who can pitch and hit and just look like Rich Hill, you know, like are just guys who exist and are really good at pitching or really good at hitting, even though they're regular. They appear. I'm not saying they're obviously way better athletes than me or most other people, but like they appear to be somewhat regular people versus Bobby Wood Jr. When you watch him on a baseball field, it stands out. Even if you're a Major League Baseball player, that's all.
All right, let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Drew, for you, Gold, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, if you ever want to interact with us, we live stream the show every single day on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Just subscribe over on YouTube. Pop to the top of your page. Why not see the show in person? Check out, you know, whatever team Drew's wearing that day. What are you wearing today, Drew? LSU.
I've got LSU.
It's LSU. He's supporting their College World Series run.
Oh, nice.
I'm guessing.
I need to wear my Coastal Carolina one because my brother and sister went there. I'm rooting
for Coastal. I already saw Rocco's up there in Omaha, the Jello Shot Challenge. They got the board updated and all that. It looks like Coastal Carolina is going to struggle, and Murray State might struggle with the Jello Shots compared to LSU.
I don't know who the
LSU is 100% going to win the Jello Shot Challenge there in Omaha.
Yeah, it seems like
I saw Rocco's change the Jello shots though. Like
to what?
Now, I think it's just easier for them to mass produce them. It looks like they're using some company that already like kind of has them packaged versus what they were using before. From what I could tell in the photos this year, it's not the then look at the OG system they were using before.
Oh, mixed it up a little.
That place though is right across the street from the ballpark.
Let's see if it's ever the same again. You know, simple question today because this was a conversation I was having with a friend. And it was just kind of a simple enough question, but it had me really thinking about it. Do you like driving? As in, do you do it because you have to, or do you actually enjoy the act of driving? Like versus like, I understand you drive to get from point A to point B, but do you take any pleasure in it? That's the question I have for you today. Is this something that you actually enjoy doing? Drew is immediately nodding, by the way. So I'm going to guess Drew does enjoy to drive.
I love driving.
So I don't hate it. Do I love driving? I think I did years ago more than I do now necessarily. Like
Like it's a means to an end to you now.
Yeah. Like I don't dislike it, but I don't say like, man, I'm just going to go drive randomly today.
I would do that more if the kids would let me. I like genuinely enjoy to drive. So like if I had like before I had kids, sometimes we would like, you know, like maybe we'd stop in somewhere, but like we would drive around. I would still like put the windows down and drive around and do like, I kind of enjoy the act of windows down, music on, driving. I still believe I enjoy, for the most part, and there's still moments, enjoy the act of driving.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I had a fancy sports car and the top down on the car and stuff, and on a nice day, I'd love it as well. You know,
I'm driving a Tiguan. Like, I didn't say I have a fancy sports car. I'm not driving a Porsche.
I know. I'm just saying, like, yeah, if I had a Corvette and it was 80 degrees outside and I'm just driving in country roads, sure.
Someone says, I despise driving from the 816. It's a risk. Every time I get behind the wheel, I or someone else may die.
Oh, wow.
Dang!
Oh my gosh.
Whoa! Jeez. From the 816, driving has made me a jaded a-hole. Someone says, I enjoy doing it. I do it for a living. It's cheaper than Uber. It's kind of a mix. This is the conversation.
It's what you do for a living too. If you're someone that is, you know,
but
driving
that can take
for
the fun out of it, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you drive a lot for work already, you're listening to the show, and let's say you're in HVAC or whatever, right? And you're out there driving constantly in the work van. You probably don't want to go home and then drive, even if it's different car. You probably don't want to go drive that weekend if that's all you were doing during the week.
This person says they don't like driving their vehicle, but they like driving the motorcycle.
Okay, it's like more freedom.
Yeah.
Drew, you mentioned you really like it. It kind of gives you some enjoyment.
Oh yeah. There's a greater chance that it does result in some pleasure.
Does it result in that for you?
I will say this. I think that, so I enjoy flying, and obviously get you there faster. However, something about like a road trip, I think, is enjoyable from the standpoint of just being able to, that's all we did as well. If you don't have a place to go and you're just driving, I think it's more fun.
Yeah, I enjoy it if I don't have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm just driving to drive, it's enjoyable. Gotcha. But if I'm driving to work, A to B, right? They're saying it's less enjoyable. I'll change the route. Does anybody else do that?
Yes.
I'll change the route I'm going. Always go the same way.
You don't drive home the same way?
Not every day.
Oh, what?
I'll get off at different exits. I'll take different highways.
You'll avoid the interstate and you'll just take
I can't get all the way home, but like sometimes I'll take 635, sometimes I'll take 35, sometimes I'll get off at Davidson, sometimes I'll take the loop, sometimes I'll go a little extra neighborhood
you'll
turn.
You'll take longer.
This is
to
how
get
I
home.
Know I like it. So is that I won't do the same thing, even if I'm going to, like, let's say I'm going to Liberty or something. I might take the back neighborhood way. I might take 152. I might take 35. Mm. I don't take the same way every time.
You will take longer to get home from work.
Not way longer. You know, I'm not trying to add 10 minutes to my drive.
I take
three,
the
sure.
exact same way home. Like today, today I'm not going home right after. I got stuff to do. But normally I would go right after the show. I'd hop on the same highway and get off on the same exit and all that. Yeah.
Like when I go on vacation in late July to the Outer Banks, traditionally I would go home to Indy and then I would go to the Outer Banks the next day. Instead, on the way there, I am going a little bit further south, and I'm making some stops along the way, and I'm sleeping in my car.
People are convinced Cody drives different ways. There's people he's worried people are tracking him, so he's purposely going home different ways every single day. Yeah.
Cashed on Twitch said, he said, Alex doesn't have kids. Sometimes you just need that time. Like he's saying, you take the long way home as an effort of just like,
don't you want to get home from work?
Giving yourself a couple of minutes. My kids aren't at home when I first get there. They will be today because they don't have summer school, but
yeah.
It's not that I don't.
Someone
but like
says,
two,
Tony
three
doesn't
minutes
like done, driving. Like, you're just avoiding going home. Kind
it doesn't
of
add
sounds
a
like
tremendous,
that.
My drives home, doing those different ways, doesn't fundamentally change the drive time very much. It might change it by a minute or two.
Yeah.
It's not like I want the most efficient thing. If I've got somewhere to be and somewhere to go, I'll take the most efficient route. But if I've got no timetable construction, then I will. Yeah, I'll take a couple different ways. Yeah, mix it up. You know?
I think if I had it's different too. If you've been driving the same car for X amount of years, like if I had a brand new car that was different, well then yeah, I'm going to go drive on the weekend randomly and do whatever. But if it's a car you've had for a while and you spent X amount of hours already in that car and whatever, I don't know. I'm just not going to go randomly drive, put miles on my car on a Saturday for no reason. You know what I mean?
I used to do it a lot when my kids were like baby and they would like sleep in the car. You're like, hey, they're asleep. Let's just drive around for a little bit, cruise the city, look at some, whatever. Look at some different areas, do it, I would do that more when they were little. Now they don't want to just cruise around. The kids hate it. Kids want to go home.
Someone else says, if gas was $2 a gallon.
That's another part of the problem, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
The amount, like, I don't know, when I was, what was the cheapest gas you remember buying yourself? I remember my brother driving us places and we had to chip in for gas and it was below a dollar.
Oh, I don't remember.
So, like,
that.
I remember
I don't
personally
remember that. Maybe
chipping
maybe
in for below a dollar, but I wasn't a driver.
Maybe $1.60 or something, or $1.50.
I remember $1.20, $1.30. I remember one time specifically filling up and being $1.55. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's like, crazy.
I was mad. It was $1.55. I'd kill for that now, obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're saying, depending on the car, you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But day to day, it's kind of a grind.
Yeah.
I just thought it was an interesting thing. It wasn't something I had really thought about in a long time. That's all. Some people saying they take scenic routes all the time. A lot of people accusing me of not liking my family. You know? Someone says they need a couple. Someone says, as a dad, I take different routes depending on traffic. I need a couple of extra minutes. Said, you know, just need some you time. That is, I will say, the only time of my day that is specifically only me. Like, it is just, that is the only time in my entire day that is just you. So there is an advantage in that. Maybe that's what it is. You get only Alex Gold time. That's most of your day.
Like, correct.
After you leave here, not today, but like,
yeah, today, yeah.
After this you leave I'm here, busy, but just as long as you have nowhere to be that evening, it's mostly you time.
Yeah.
You talk to yourself out loud?
Out loud?
Oh, I talk to myself out loud.
No, so, but I mean, so you definitely talk to yourself like without talking out. You know, I mean, like
I'll say stuff to myself out loud.
Really?
Oh yeah. This goes back to the current thing.
I don't do that. I've definitely talked. I've definitely, you know, you like talk to yourself without talking out loud.
You internalize
things? Yeah, I definitely do that. But as far as like actually verbally out loud, having a conversation with myself, no.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you'll drive home today and you'll talk out loud?
Not every time, but yeah, I definitely talk out loud to myself.
Interesting.
In the car or at home, doesn't matter.
Yeah, people are mentioning during COVID gas got down to 99 cents. Yeah, I guess, but I wouldn't fill up the car that much at that point in time. That's why, hence why gas prices were very cheap. Nobody was going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't remember the gas prices when I couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Except for here. Well, you came to my house more than...
That's true.
So you did have to fill up every once in a while, you know?
That's very true.
COVID, I might have taken more drives in that year. In 2020... I might have taken more drives.
I kind of agree what you're saying, yeah. And
I might have taken more drives just because I needed to do something. I needed to do something.
Yeah, that's fair. Everybody now talking about the cheapest gas they remember. That's everything they see. Buddy Nathan, I'm playing golf with tomorrow, says 69 cents a gallon in Chillicothe in the year 2000. It's like, I do remember sub-dollar gas. You don't remember sub-dollar gas?
I really don't. I'm sure it was. I mean, the 90s or whatever, but I remember. I mean,
I turned 16 years old, and you could get $1.05 gas and a 49-cent Big Q from Quick Trip. Freedom. Pure freedom at 16 years old. I could fill up my tank for $14 and a 49-cent Big Q. That was living. Living, Drew. Never again.
The cheapest I remember gas, I think, was $1.95.
$1.95?
That I can remember.
God.
Got some bad news for you. I think the gas prices are on their way up. It's on their way up.
It was at 287 yesterday, I think.
Oh, it's definitely going to go up. It's definitely going to go up.
I need to fill up.
Hopefully you already did for your road trip.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to drive all the way down to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I guess stay as low as I can for at least the next week and a half.
Bad news there for you. That is the random question of the day. Up next, we're going to get to 1 o'clock hour, a little fan club Friday on the show. Dana Wright expected to join us. We also have to play you some audio from a NBA player that's convinced nothing ever happened before a certain time. We'll explain what that is next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.